All right, it's the club, and we got a very special Thanksgiving edition on tap. Underdog has packed the lobbies with all kinds of contests, including a very sick rake-free battle royale for the three-game Thanksgiving slate. We'll talk about that. Maybe we'll hit on a little crypto news, maybe a little AI news, all kinds of stuff going on over there. And we'll also look forward to the Week 12 main slate as well, since all those contests are up as well. It's the club with Pete, Clay, and Andy. Let's do it. All right, we are back. Clay's got the club going up on a Tuesday. How are you guys doing?
Great, man. Great.
Yeah, I'm good. It's been a busy couple of days.
I know. It has been. Yeah, I was just like this morning, I was catching up on all the AI stuff with Sam Altman at OpenAI, which is just like an insane story. And then I was just, you were filling me in on what's going on with Binance and CZ right now.
Yeah, it just feels like kind of one of those periods of time where there's just more news and big things going on than there is like time in the day to follow it all. But there should be like a press conference going on right now, actually, from the DOJ, but missing it for the club. You gotta.
Yeah.
Sounds a little bit more fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How are you doing, Clay?
I'm good, man. Getting prepped up for hosting first Thanksgiving, which I'm looking forward to.
Ooh, hosting. So,
yeah, I got my wife's parents coming in town and my parents coming in town. So we're getting off a little bit easy. We don't have to go too crazy numbers wise and stuff. But yeah, I had to write Chef Clay in the bio today, because that's what we're going to be doing once I get out of the club. Got some nice. a lot of cooking duties ahead for sure.
We've Alex currently baking cookies like literally as really? We're on here for Thanksgiving. Yeah.
What are you guys going to your parents, Andy?
Yeah, we have our parents don't live that far from each other, maybe like an hour or so away. And so we'll drive up to Allie's parents tomorrow and do like dinner with them, hang out, and then kind of we try to coordinate it where like whatever day her brothers are going to their significant others, we'll go to my parents and just kind of go back and forth. It's like an hour drive, so we'll drive down Thursday morning to my parents, do Thanksgiving there. And then kind of we'll like flip that for Christmas. We kind of just do like one or the other, but I think this might be the last year we do the double dip family travels. It's like, all right, we're married now, or next year we'll be 30. I think we'll do Thanksgiving at home and we'll figure it out, kind of start like setting up our own traditions a little bit as opposed to just like traveling to parents and stuff. How about you guys?
Yeah, we just go over to my in-laws who don't live too far from us. So that's nice. And my in-laws, they're very good cooks. So it's kind of nice to just be able to kind of go over there and chill. And it'll be April's first Thanksgiving. So that'll be very fun as well. She has like already developed just an insane appetite. Like she had, she just like eats what we have now at dinner and she just crushes. And so I'm excited to see her with a full Thanksgiving spread in front of her.
That's
just
fun. Bowing
down. But yeah, Griffin caught me in a turkey draft right as we were starting. I was wrapping it up. I have I've gotten pretty enthusiastic about that contest. I couldn't agree less with Brett here. Yeah. Says late sucks, honestly. I'm like the complete opposite. I think it's an incredible slate. I haven't looked at the DraftKings stuff yet, but as far as like Underdog, you have three teams with like big team totals, right? Three really good offenses in the Lions, the Niners, and the Cowboys. And then you got all of these like six scroll down plays. You got like four Green Bay pass catchers in play. You got like four Dallas Cowboys pass catchers in play, four Commanders pass catchers, where the market will rank them in one way. And yet it's pretty ambiguous. Like any of those guys could go off, which makes it like beautiful from a scroll down angle. There's tons of leverage with guys who aren't getting drafted, specifically like Packers and Seahawks. I think it's a fucking awesome slate. And then you throw in that it's rake free with a $20,000 prize up top at $5 a pop. I'm all in, guys. I'm on my way.
I totally agree. I agree. I think sometimes people conflate like a slate being bad versus like kind of having to hold your breath a little bit when you pick players. And like, I don't think that means that it's like it's fun to just draft a bunch of like all-stars every single draft, but I think there's like way more skill expression and there's a lot of fun in like you know, scrolling down to JSN instead of just taking Tyler Lockett every time, and like kind of these little things that can really differentiate you from the field.
Well, Ian, that's a good point. Like, and I'll admit, so if like you're trying to find a scroll down play on the Niners, like, yeah, it doesn't feel fun to click Eli Mitchell or Jawan Jennings, but like on the Packers, Lions, Cowboys, Commanders, there's like legitimate fun scroll down plays that actually have a path to being in the optimal lineup.
I think the Packers wide receivers in particular is some of the most interesting like clicks on the whole slate in that game environment. And like, I mean, I think it's obviously this goes without saying for, cause you try to treat most slates like this, but on a three gamer and Turkey Day, I think getting kind of into the narratives of like how you think games will play out, game scripts and stuff is like really good ways to draft. And like, you kind of have options at every stage, depending on like how your first two rounds go or what your draft selection is on a given draft. But I have a couple angles that like I haven't been able to draft yet that are a little gross. So I'm a little hesitant to even like share some of them out loud publicly, but I'm ready to get a little down and dirty in the,
I mean,
the drafting streets here.
Clay, when have you ever been shy about, you know, sharing a gross take?
Yeah.
Andy, I don't know if you missed this. We're doing Off and On the Clock on Friday, and Clay was in the chat and he called Christian McCaffrey fancy Tony Pollard. That was Clay's take.
To be fair, that one wasn't so crazy in retrospect because, I mean, it kind of netted out the same
way.
It's crazy.
He got
his touchdown. It's crazy. So, I understand it's crazy.
I think
that was a little bit sensationalized. But like, and the premise was you nailed Tony Pollard's stat line, the, you know, 10 for 60 and one tutty. Christian McCaffrey had a touchdown, but he didn't bury you on that slate. Granted, I was all over Eckler, and that was like, he looked fucking awful out there. So I can't even really take a victory lap on that one.
So wait, for context, was this only for that week or just in general?
In that week. Okay. I was personally thinking that people were undervaluing the Bucs pass funnel defense. Granted, CMC could just get receptions, but you know, we're playing half point PPR here in the drafting streets. And so relative to like being the 101 overall, I just wasn't as concerned on last week in particular that you're gonna get buried by CMC. And that was more of the point, was like Tony Pollard not likely to hit the ceiling outcome. CMC for sure could, but I was just willing to kind of hang my hat on that it was less likely the outcome there. It's crazy, but fancy Tony Pollard. I don't know.
There you go. Well, we do get real Tony Pollard on this slate again.
And real CMC.
Yeah, CMC has been, you know, the 101. Pollard still getting drafted.
He should be this week.
Fairly aggressively. Yeah, it's hard to make a case for any. I guess you could make the case for CeeDee Lamb just because the Commanders have been so bad and CeeDee has just shown such an insane ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just really hard to not draft CMC 1-1 every time. Because if you don't, you're basically just accepting being under the field on him, and that just feels really scary. Because, like, I mean, I've done 20 of these. You've done more than I have, Pipa. I'm not sure I've seen him go later than one more than, like, once maybe. And so you're not going to get those opportunities where he's going to slide because other people are getting unique. It just doesn't really happen very often.
Yeah.
He's an auto 101 to me this week.
You know, this slate, you know, we're with this specific contest, and I should just pull this up so people can see which contest we're talking about here. There's a ton in the lobby. I've been putting all of my time so far into this turkey one, just because it has that $20,000 top prize and it's rake free. But you know, if you think about it, it's a 4-person draft, right? So there are 24 players taking their 6 rounds, and you know, you can take multiple tight ends if you want, but for the most part, it's just 4 quarterbacks and 4 tight ends getting selected. And I think to me, like, the biggest edge is I'm going to be like massively underweight Commanders, because like Sam Howell's taken in 100% of drafts. And when you look at his projection relative to Jordan Love, it's almost the exact same. And I like the spot more for Jordan Love versus the Lions than I do Sam Howell against the Commanders. So those are going to be the things I'm doing. And then same with the tight end, right? Like Logan Thomas going to be drafted in a decent amount, but Luke Musgrave. And then if you want to get really gross, although it's a huge projection gap down to Noah Fant, but those guys are not going to be drafted. And so I think that's going to be probably my biggest macro stand, is very heavy on Seahawks and Packers, and just hope that one of those quarterbacks or one of those onesies can outscore the other ones closer to them in ADP.
Yeah,
I like
I've been
over Howell.
I've been liking that as well.
Howell bias.
What's up, Clay?
I was saying I like Love over Howl this week, and you know my Howl bias is strong. I'm pretty pot committed, so I can't completely go without drafting or selecting him. Just a nice click, but yeah, I don't love the spot. Like I'm against the Cowboys, goes without saying. Like Michael Parsons might have, you know, 12 sacks alone and beating the Turduncan after the game. That's a very viable outcome. Love in a negative green script too. Like, I mean, I think if you can get some Demont teams and then stack up some Packers with Love, that's a pretty fun roster.
Yeah. So like the way I've been kind of doing it is I'm either taking like that contrarian angle, right, with getting three Seahawks, three Packers, and I kind of know already that's going to be a pretty big differentiator, or I'm just kind of rolling out some like big offensive onslaughts, you know, getting like four Cowboys, five Cowboys. Like, would not shock me if like a couple of these games just completely flop and the Cowboys hang 40 or the Lions hang 40, right, or something like that. And you just want every single piece of them. I remember that. Was it a few years back? Do you guys remember that game? It was Lions Bucks. And I think it was the Brady Bucks team. And just, it was like seven of the players in the optimal lineup on DraftKings were Tampa Bay Bucks. So like, I'm always willing to play for that angle too.
Yeah. I've done that a couple of times and I've seen it. You can even do it. Like I've seen, like Purdy, CMC, Ayuk. I don't know if I've seen that also with Kittle, but like I've seen pretty intense SF stacks. I've also really liked going like really intense Seattle stacks because it's free. And so you can do like Geno, Metcalf, Lockett, Charbonnet if you want, or like a lot of stuff like that. And just kind of, I don't know, maybe they have a really good game. And like, you don't have to do that a ton, but you can get it in a couple lineups and, you know, it's definitely going to be underowned comparatively to other stuff.
Ben wants me to talk about Jameson Williams. I've definitely been taking him a good bit. I will say, like, if he becomes overwhelmingly the like most popular random lion to click, like, you're definitely going to want some Josh Reynolds and Khalif Raymond. Because I don't think the expectation is that crazy, but I think Jameson Williams is getting selected in what, maybe less than 25% of drafts. So I have a hard time like poking holes in that.
Yeah. Yeah. I like him too.
Have you guys been doing any, double tight end action? Cause I know that's been a big talking point this week and like game theory kind of, thought exercise.
So I struggle with it a little bit, partly because like when you just look at the projections right now, like those secondary running back plays, Brian Robinson, now AJ Dillon, Zach Charbonnet, they're projecting better than those second and third tight ends. And then you couple that with, have you guys been seeing the stuff with the splits of Laporta with and without Gibbs? Like it's pretty drastic right now. And then, you know, the Niners offense is so spread. Like, I think it's viable, but, and I'll across like, if I get to 150, I'll probably only have like two or three double tight end teams, I think.
Yeah. I'm torn on it. I think we could honestly see like a, Montgomery Gibbs winning lineup as
for sure
wild as that is. Like, I mean, I just, it just feels like that's one of those like outcomes that happens on a Thanksgiving slate. I don't really know how to explain it, but it's just, I don't know. You just see them both eat and they can get there in different ways. And if they're just gonna, that Laporta action is, you know, funneling more to Gibbs. He doesn't really have to take away from Montgomery in the rushing attack. And I think Montgomery is going to eat.
Like looking at, so like, I just have like ETR's FanDuel projections pulled up just to kind of get like a gauge for it. And you can see here, they have McLaurin projected over Laporta. They have Lockett projected over Ferguson. Debo, AJ Dillon, Metcalf, Brian Robinson, Charbonnet, all over Kittle. So just like math wise, I think it's part of like a portfolio and getting unique and knowing people won't be quite as, you know, apt to do it, but the projections don't seem to like double tight end too much. I think like some of my favorite ones, I mentioned it. I think the Packers are by far the most interesting thing on this slate. Like, and I should go to the Game Hub here or the our utilization report on Fantasy Life just to show how evenly split the like the targets have been on the Packers over the past couple of weeks here. it's almost eerie how similar it's been. So over the past 2 weeks, Romeo Doubs, 16% of the targets. Christian Watson, 16% of the targets. Jaden Reed, 14% of the targets. Dontavian Wicks, 13% of the targets. Then you check out Luke Musgrave, 14% of the targets. So I've literally just been mixing and matching like all of these guys in various combos with Jordan Love.
Yeah. If you were in a single entry, last round pick, all of them are available. Which one are you taking?
Great question.
Jaden Reed.
Same.
He's been the most efficient of all of them, and he's even running less routes than you can see. Like, he's down in this 56. He did jump to 77 last week, but still below, you know, Doubs and Watson over the past few weeks. But they're now giving him this rushing work, which is bound to continue with Aaron Jones out too. That seemed partly correlated with not having Aaron Jones. And his ADOT is really nice. You know, I guess it came down a little bit because of all of those, you know, things near the line of scrimmage, but he still has that big playability. So I don't know. I'm pretty into Jaden Reed, and it's actually hard for me. I have to force myself to click other combos without him just because I do think he is the best of the bunch.
Yeah. And I think, like, just, you know, kind of like on just like the eye side of it, it seems like they have like a really good connection. Like, you just look at like, Love's just like passer rating comparatively when throwing to Reed versus like Watson. And it's just like hard to want to click Christian Watson.
I know. Yeah. And the thing that's the reason I was ready to like be out on Watson, because I was like, you know, he'll probably be the one that's drafted still the most. He's like the sexy name. The thing that brings me in is you look at his like end zone targets too. Like, they have been looking for him a ton in the end zone. Still has that nice ADOT too. So you can definitely tell yourself the story, but like, the volume just has not been funneling there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, he definitely, at least in anecdotally in the drafts that I've been in, I feel like I haven't seen him going consistent, like more consistently than the other guys.
I also think similar, but not quite to the same extent. The Dallas Cowboys are really interesting. Obviously, don't need to talk about CeeDee Lamb, but I assume Brandon Cooks is going to be drafted at the next highest clip. You know, he had that monster game a couple weeks ago. But then when you look at like the targets, like Michael Gallup, Jalen Tolbert have been like right there with him target wise over the past couple of weeks. And so I think those guys, similar to like the Wicks and the Doubs plays that don't feel quite as good, are really viable. And then you get this Commander secondary, right? That just got destroyed. You watch Darius Slayton get loose behind them. Like, that's the exact profile of like a Gallup or Tolbert. So those are a couple of my favorite scroll down plays too.
Yeah. I haven't gotten to them as much. That's a good point.
They feel like the kind of like one of those guys very easily could break the slate, because they're going to be so, you know, minimally drafted. And if they could, you know, one of them happens to put up, you know, a 2-touchdown game or a touchdown on a bomb and get some yardage, that's gonna be pretty fascinating. It is interesting though, because like, you know, you don't necessarily have to scroll so far. So it's just like, obviously it's gonna matter against the other, you know, 6-round picks there.
Yeah. I mean, you see, it's kind of wild too. It's been a little quiet, but Tolbert, 10 targets over the past 2 weeks, and it's even started to kind of come at the expense of Gallup a little bit. I think I'm kind of leaning Tolbert as my favorite scroll down click on the Cowboys. And again, I mean, you're probably going to get this guy at what, less than 5%, maybe even like sub 2%, like in this contest, which when you're getting it tethered to Dak in one of the best passing matchups, like, I just really like that.
I do too. I'm Tolbert over Gallup. I've heard enough analysis that, you know, they're splits and Tolbert's kind of rise is directly correlating to Gallup not getting the same amount of opportunities. So I'm willing to buy in on that.
And this is how I get my Jalen Tolbert exposure. I famously was one and done in Best Ball Mania. I swore off drafting any more Jalen Tolbert after, you know, the event where I begged the chat to let me draft Jalen Tolbert. And now he's finally coming on. 29% targets per route run, not running a ton of routes last week, only 40%, but getting targeted at a really insane clip there. Higher targets per route run last week than CeeDee Lamb.
That's pretty crazy. It seems like Antonio Gibson's going to be back. as well.
I just saw that Antonio Gibson was limited in practice again today. I know like ETR and most sites are kind of projecting it as Chris Rodriguez right now, but it does seem like he could potentially be back.
Yeah, that feels like a good position. What I mean, how far this contest is not quite halfway yet, right? But I imagine he's not been clicked a whole lot up to this point, unless people are just playing the Q tag game with him. But again, you know, talking about game script stuff, does not feel like the best B-Rob spot. Then again, who knows? He might, you know, get 80 receiving yards again and make me eat my words there. But I am interested in Antonio Gibson as, you know, potentially like a late round flyer.
That's the nice thing about some of those plays like Gibson is you probably can wait, you know, wait, get another good practice report. Not that you can't do the swap thing, but you could kind of pile in at the last minute. And it's not like Antonio Gibson is going to scream up draft boards regardless.
That's true.
But yeah, I think Brian Robinson, you know, when you look at the projections here, it is interesting. ETR has Charbonnet slightly ahead of B-Rob there. But both of these guys have been, you can pretty much get Charbonnet or Brian Robinson in any draft you want. They're not too hard to get.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just because you can't have every positional player on a team rank so highly when it's, you know, there are other teams on the slate, but it is fascinating to me on that list that like Kittle and Debo are as low as they are relative to like Charbonnet, for example. I get it, but at the same time, it's just like a little hard to wrap my head around. And I understand there's definitely some, they got to split the projectable volume amongst the team, right? So they can't just like every player in isolation project as on outcomes there. But I would be drafting both those guys ahead of Sharps personally.
Andy, are there any other angles or structure or scroll down plays that you've been liking in your drafts?
I think like not too much. I think like trying to figure out ways to get unique, like continue to get unique with the more chalky guys is interesting, where it's like you're not just like, congrats if you get the Purdy, Ayuk, Kittle stack, but so did a million other people. Right. And so like just trying to continue to think about like what makes that combo actually win is interesting to me. And like part of it makes me think like not having bringbacks or these different things that kind of go counterintuitive to what you would expect, or having a more unique bringback. Like a JSN instead of Metcalf or Lockett in the case of the Niners. But yeah, I'm not sure. I think like that kind of stuff is interesting. And I don't know if I definitely don't have an answer for what it would be, but that's something I've been thinking about.
One piece of advice I would give. So there isn't going to be any ADP for this contest, for the 4-person contest, the way it works. It's just going to be by default ranks, and those ranks will update throughout the week because they're tied to the like underdog projection source. So like once Aaron Jones is ruled out, AJ Dillon will get a slightly higher projection. He'll move up, blah, blah, blah. But you're going to just see that like wall of quarterbacks there when you log into the app, like repeatedly, just because that's how it's going to default. So I would sort your ranks, and you know, people can, you know, put where you want your quarterbacks and tight ends wherever. But I do think that is a little bit helpful too. Also too, like we talk about this with like just scroll down psychology, and you know, Andy mentioning how you can just always draft like the super teams if you want, like just even changing your ranks to force yourself to draft some of these guys and pushing them up higher can be very helpful, because it is crazy how psychologically you're like, man, should probably just take Terry McLaurin. He's top here. Should probably just do that. So yeah, this is I think a really good slate, and it took me like 10 minutes to go in and adjust my ranks for this slate manually. And I think it goes a long way, and then you can tweak them, you know, as you go. I've already tweaked mine a few different times.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one guy who I didn't mention previously, who I think is like kind of interesting, is Rico Dowdle. Where there was like this conversation last week, and then he was like injured and maybe wasn't going to play. But he got 8 carries. Like he played, saw snaps. Like he's someone where if the game is just like a total blowout, I wouldn't be shocked if he got a lot of carries, and like is someone who I don't think I've seen him drafted once yet.
I think that's a good call out. And I'm thinking through like correlation, and I have done like a Dak Pollard, like onslaught team, but I actually think Rico correlates pretty well with Dak in that if you play like, hey, Dak gets all the passing touchdowns through three quarters, and then Rico gets all the carries in the fourth and gets a touchdown. And then you're basically just saying, can Rico outscore the last person everyone else selected, which was kind of like the flyer wide receiver or whatever. So yeah, I kind of like how that correlation play could potentially work out.
Rico's ears must have been burning because we just got a push notification that he didn't practice today.
Okay. Yeah, there had been some interesting injury stuff. There was some stuff about CeeDee Lamb's ankle, but he was back to a full participant today. I mean, the Rico stuff, I think, is like a teeny bit thin, but not out of the question, like on a slate like this. Obviously, you want to
know. Yeah, it's like you're doing that like once or twice. It's not like, oh, I've allocated 10% of my portfolio to Rico Dowdle. Yeah.
I think it makes a lot of sense on like a Dak CD team, though, if you just think they smash. And then like, I like that angle a lot.
John says, what about Pollard Rico? You know, that's obviously like the poor man's Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery. I don't think that's absurd. Like if you say the Cowboys score four touchdowns and they finally all funnel through the run game, I would just like not use any other Cowboys other than those two. I would just play it all through the running game. And then I think it's probably pretty viable. But I think that's actually my biggest question that I'm trying to think through right now is like, how galaxy brain do you need to get? And I'm kind of like leaning on like, if all these Packers stuff is going to all be like sub 10% and Jordan Love's going to be like sub 20%. Like, I'm like, I bet I can build a ton of like really highly projected teams around like Geno Charbonnet pass catcher, Jordan Love, two pass catchers that aren't sacrificing that many points. Whereas when you do the Rico Pollard thing, when you do, you know, that you are sacrificing like a really good chunk of projected points.
I think that's right. And like, I don't know, to me, it feels like a week where you don't have to scroll down as much and maybe just being more considerate about like how you're pairing players together. As Andy said, there's gonna be a lot of really chalky combinations. So then even if it's like you're, you know, technically a little bit like negative EV to pair, like, I don't know, CMC and Debo together, hypothetically, like that, I imagine is going to be more unique than like a CMC, Ayuk or Kittle or, you know, a Purdy stack like that as well. Cause I think people will be like more inclined to say, well, CMC and Debo might eat into each other's opportunity more so than CMC and Ayuk or CMC and Kittle, and like sacrificing some of that just for the sake of uniqueness when, you know, they could all get there. Is one thing that I'm kind of thinking through as well, is just trying to be like, well, what is the most common way that these players are paired together, and then trying to not do that.
Yeah. Andy, how are you doing? Cause I know you go full robot mode, for NBA. Are you manually drafting these? Are you trying, have you attempted to do any auto stuff with this?
No, I'm just going to manual it. I'll do like three or four at a time and try to not mess it up, but I will sometimes do. But no, I think that there's too much value in the correlation in NFL stuff. And so it's hard to get behind autoing it. If you know, if it's Thursday morning and I'm not gonna get max or it's filling up too fast, I'll probably, you know, run my bot and enter as many as I need to max it out. But I'm gonna try not to.
Let me throw this one at you guys and tell me how you're thinking about it. Cause like I said, I think the Jordan Love and Geno stuff is going to be very underused, and then trying to think about the best way to use it. I've been doing most of my Geno stacks with Charbonnet, just being like, they are going to lean on him a ton. He's going to be part of the passing game. I really think he'll be their highest usage player, like across all, you know, running backs and wide receivers. So I've been doing that and then doing like one wide receiver, which kind of tracks with just how kind of underwhelming this passing offense has been, and being like, maybe one of these guys can get there, Metcalf, JSN, or Lockett. But I'll probably start mixing in a few double stacks. But then with Love, like the double stacks with the pass catchers just is so clean because there's so many options. But I guess my question is this: without Aaron Jones, would you consider doing what I do with like Geno, Sharps, DK? Would you do that with AJ Dillon? Like, would you do a Jordan Love, AJ Dillon pass catcher, or do you just not want to involve AJ Dillon with the passing game element?
I probably would. I would at least do it some. I think if you're like, if you're actively trying to be above the field on Jordan Love, I think you want to try to hit like every single player combo. And kind of like the way that I think about those is really like, just let me, these are, you know, these are going to be almost free combos for me to go after. And so like, let me just get the best two possible players that I can and then fill out this combo and like get what I want. And like, if you're doing that with Love and these pass catchers, like you're going to be able to get it most of the time. And so like, I think it's worth doing. I think like even like a Love Dylan Musgrave and saying like, ignore all of the pass catchers for a couple is like interesting to me. Basically saying like, you know, if what yes. everyone likes about Jordan Love is pairing him up with Reed and Dobbs and all these different people, it's just like, all right, none of them. And see how that goes. But
yeah.
Yeah, I would do it all.
Yeah.
I wouldn't reach for it, but I like it if it falls. Like I'm with Andy. I wouldn't like write it off. And I think it's an interesting point you just made too, Andy, about like, well, since, I mean, we looked at the distribution, right? It's pretty evenly distributed across the wide receivers. If you're just trying to soak up all their points, like pairing Love with Dylan and Musgrave in particular, and just saying like none of those three receivers really pops off, they all kind of all do fine. Yeah, naked Love. I'm with the copper there. Like that, there's some viability to it. We just saw Purdy take down the Millie on Redacted, you know, naked Purdy. Which actually I thought that was pretty sharp too. The more you think about it, it's like, you know, he just, the value of his price point on that kind of contest matters a lot more. It's obviously a different dynamic here, but yeah, I think it's viable.
Yeah. On the Dylan stuff, I guess the one difference, and I completely agree, I am going to mix in some like Love Dylan teams. If I've been fine doing Charbonnet as a bring back to 49er stuff, like playing 49er smash, but the Seahawks still just heavily lean on Charbonnet. Whereas I don't think I feel as comfortable of doing like a Lions onslaught with just a one-off AJ Dillon bring back, where I feel like AJ Dillon will be far more the beneficiary of the Packers really showing up and surprising and the entire offense is good versus like the offense is shit. Can we get like eight, you know, check downs to AJ Dillon in garbage time? I find that to be a little bit more thin, where I could totally see that happening with Sharps.
Yeah. Yep. I co-sign that. Real quick too, we got to shout out Andy for his bink that happened right for the club last week. We haven't clubbed since.
Oh yeah,
then, he took down an NBA contest.
It did.
Wednesday night, but you did, Andy. Yeah, but I just want to show you some love, man, because that was
which one was that you took down?
It was the Tuesday night, actually. It was last club night because it was a two gamer slate. It was a fun one. I didn't really like. Yeah, it was a gross slate. I didn't really think I had a chance. And I actually went to bed before the game's finished. I was looking through it. I was like, I have this team that seems like it has a shot, but I don't know. I'm not going to hold my breath. I'm just going to go to sleep and woke up to a nice first place.
What was first awful place since then?
I've just been. It was 8K.
That's nice. It was 8K on a two game slate. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah,
I've been slaughtered since then, though. Every single day is just. I don't think I've had a winning day since. So
really,
yeah.
Goodness. Yeah, Nessa sleeping through the set sweat seems to be the meta.
The new not dialed in.
Yeah. There you go. Let's do a couple drafts here so we have some time. Let's hop in a turkey right here and I'll get this pulled up.
Cool.
What am I doing here? Where's our screen? There we go.
I think I got in this.
I don't know if I did.
Let's see. Oh, yeah. And he snuck in, Clay.
No, I'm in the overflow.
Oh, down bad.
Hate to see it. Sorry.
So this is probably, I feel like I've disproportionately had a lot of 1-4s. And I feel like it's a kind of awkward spot to draft from where it's like,
yeah,
I don't want to take Pollard and Gibbs every time. So I'll do Pollard and Montgomery. I'll do Gibbs and Montgomery. I'll do Ayuk and Debo. I'll do them and Kittle. I've been like reaching pretty far on these picks at the turn here and trying to get
it's
weird.
It's funny you say that because I had so much Gibbs Ayuk from the 1-4 that I finally shuffled up my ranks and now doing like Pollard Gibbs, Pollard Montgomery, just because I was like, I don't want a million Ayuk and Gibbs teams.
Yeah.
I got a 3 spot as well in my draft. So I'm about to dupe you so hard, Pete.
Oh man, don't dupe me, bro. at this point, like, it's just getting into having to do better about actually managing my portfolio and my combos and make sure I'm actually getting the stuff I want.
Mm-hmm. You should check out. Oh, wow. I have so I made a tool for, let's see, I'm going to get weird.
Grabbing here. It, right? The download?
Yeah. So basically, I made a tool where you can go, and this, I've tested it out. It works for every type of content, like type of contest, not just NBA. I made it for NBA. But basically, it's like another Chrome extension. And shout out, there's another guy in the, he's probably in the chat, who originally threw something together and I expanded on it from there, where it'll, you go to whatever contest you have and it'll go through and grab all of your teams from you. Yep. So you don't have to wait every hour or whatever to get updated exposures. But then what I also did is I made a Chrome sheet that you can upload that to, and it'll give you a matrix of all of your overlapped players and how often you draft them on the same team. And so it'll give you every player and like their exposures. And then also, like, you know, you have five teams where these two players are on the same team, 10 teams where these two players are on the same team. And so I feel like it's very helpful for kind of like, you know, if you can intentionally kind of try to fill in the entire matrix and have like a really strong overlap of players all on different teams together.
Where in it, you have the, is that pinned in the Badge Bros Discord?
It is, but like not super well. People keep asking about it, and I realize like I just have not done a good job of actually writing down like what's going on with it. So okay. I will, I need to update it, but I'm intending to. I'll probably do it tomorrow, I'm being honest. But yeah, if you hop in the Badge Bros Discord or just like shoot me a message on there, if you tag me, I'll probably see it. It's not too hard to do.
Speaking of DNPs coming across here, Luke Musgrave missed practice again today. Don't love to see that.
That'd be tough. No. Who's even their backup tight end? Joshua? I've never heard of this guy in my life. And he also missed practice. So. I guess they have Tucker Kraft.
So I am doing one of my little Geno stacks here. Geno Charbonnet, Metcalf, then playing Pollard, Amon-Ra. And now it looks like I am can either do Musgrave, or maybe this is where I get my Noah Fant share. Get real gross. I guess I just take Musgrave and then he'll get autoed to a. I would be very devastated though if Musgrave's out, but I guess you could just set up the ranks like Chipsy says there and get Tucker Kraft to actually, let me check the,
you had like a couple catches last week actually.
Yeah. No, we're not doomed. We just pivoted Nez right to Tucker Kraft and we're all right.
It's actually bullish if you think about it.
It's extremely bullish. Because it's not just Luke Musgrave siphoning off carries to or touches to Kraft, then it's Kraft assumes both of their roles. That's how this works. All right. So Andy, so I did the Geno Sharbs, Metcalf, Pollard, Amon-Ra, Musgrave. So really it's just like Geno's the big unique differentiator here. What did you do?
I didn't get too crazy, but I just kind of picked a bunch of random players, if I'm being totally honest. but I went Purdy, Montgomery, Dillon, Ayuk, Lockett, Logan Thomas. So smaller game stack this time. And just, I think it was relatively unique because I kind of scrolled down a bit early on. And so.
Yep.
That's one thing I try to think about too, where it's like you can scroll down at the end to get the guy who's going to be like super underowned. But also just like, if you don't take a first round guy, or, you know, if you kind of scroll down a little bit for a couple guys, you might also end up with something that's unique. And in a slate like this, like, I don't feel as bad doing that.
Clay, what did you end up with?
Yeah, I went, I started similar to you with Sun God and Tony Redacted. Then I went Debo, Jake Ferguson, Jared Goff to stack up with Sun God, and then close it out with J-Mo just for the Goff double stack. Because, yeah, he was not going to get drafted. I just felt like, all right, let me get some more some yardage equity here for Goff. I will say, speaking of tight ends, though, you guys catch who was the first target last night in the game?
Was where the sky is a little gray?
The skies were gray, but then they stayed very gray, and it just continued to rain. So nothing else happened there, but it was very promising for the jump.
The chat says I'm addicted to Gino. It's unfortunate. It literally could be, Tim Boyle. You can just insert which of the six quarterbacks, which are the two that aren't getting drafted in 100% of contests. And those would be the two that I would be overweight on. So that randomness this week means it is it's Gino and Jordan Love. Although, like, I'm with everyone. The Jordan Love stuff feels way better than Gino. But I don't know. The 49ers they've been good, but they're much better against the run than they are the pass. So I think there's some hope there that they might be forced to chuck it a good bit. But yeah, it does not feel good. At least Seattle's at home too. That's at least a little bit better there. But yeah, Geno banged up against the Niners. Doesn't feel great, but we take our leverage how we can get it. Have you guys, I'll be honest, I haven't dabbled in any of these other contests yet just because I'm trying to make sure I have enough time to max the turkey. But have you guys done anything else?
I haven't, just for that sake. There's no way I get any more than the turkey in before Thanksgiving, if I'm being realistic. But also just because I've just been hammering the dog bowl. I've done 15 dog bowls already, and so only have so much time in the day.
I know.
20K top prize is just too juicy for me to like pass it up at a $5 entry point and rake free.
It's the perfect
optionality, but
$5 rake free and getting to have a ton of sweats, or at least hopefully on Sunday Thursday is too good to pass up. But let's I'm down. You guys want to do a dog bowl? I haven't done one yet. I'm gonna go pretty hard this later in the week at the dog bowl, but this is my first one here.
I have not.
So
three QBs in the top nine here or whatever.
Talk us through the dog. Take a look. Just like click on just QB and look at the drop off. It's really jarring when you see it.
Jake Browning being ahead of Russ is wild shit.
And so QB is tough this week. Tight end is tough as well. I mean, if you have the 12th best tight end this week, you have a guy who probably is projecting for like two catches, maybe.
Yeah. And I mean, looking at these totals again, so you do have a few good games, obviously. Jags, Texans, you got Eagles, Bills. Those are going to be the nice ones there. But then we got Steelers, Bengals, 34.5 total. Panthers, Titans, 36.5. Couple in the low 40s here. Giants, Patriots, 33.5. Browns, Broncos, 35. I mean, this feels like the week where if you get the one game that kind of surprises, you'll be in very good shape.
Yeah, I've been pretty comfy going with like some pretty heavy game stacks in this just because of how low all of these totals are. Like, I think there's a good chance you just get a ton of zeros, or, you know, not actual zeros, but you know, single digit scores from guys and just a lot of really gross games.
Like, you know, it's bad with Darnell Washington. I don't even think Darnell Washington's draftable. What are we doing?
No, that one's like a relic of the ADP that hasn't updated yet.
That's hilarious. We got Sacrilegious in here. This is Crutches, right? I think so.
Yeah.
All right, what am I doing here? Man, it already gets so gross, like with, you know, ETN's role. They're now doing so much fucking shit with Bigsby and Dearness Johnson. Taylor versus Tampa Bay, he's been really struggling efficiency wise. I think I'm just gonna grab fucking the hottest wide receiver in football and Tank Dell and just bank my 10 targets.
Don't hate it.
Tank Dell at 1.5.
Yeah, you thought his price was rich last week, Pete.
I know. I'm sure like once I like actually get my bearings on this slate, I'll have like a full fade on Tank Dell, but right now he's looking pretty good.
I've been taking him a good amount. I think right now the deepest position of the week is running back. You can, you know, it's not pretty, but like you can draft Ramondre in the last round. You can, Najee Harris goes completely undrafted. Chuba Hubbard goes completely undrafted. And so like there are guys you can take there My kind of stand early on is I really want to leave the first round with a quarterback. Basically, I want to leave it with one of Allen, Hurts, or Mahomes. And if I don't, then I want to leave the second round with Lawrence, Murray, Stroud. And if not, then it's like I'm drafting Desmond Ridder in the last round or something. Like it gets, right. It's tough.
So wild. I also saw on the timeline a little bit ago, the Rams waived Darrell Henderson.
Saw that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Cause Kyren's back. His ADP is, I think
that's going to be on the rise very quickly.
Yeah. I think the Michael Thomas just went on IR as well. So I think Rashid Shaheed is like very draftable. He's a sixth round guy. Most times goes undrafted. I've done a good chunk. That's a game that I'm like pretty open to, early running back, either Kamara or Bijan, Olave, and kind of stack that game. Cause it's at least like in a dome. I could tell myself the story of there being more points scored there. But yeah, you see Stroud there going to crash at 13. I've seen Stroud go as early as like 8.
I was going to say the tank Stroud stack has to be pretty hard.
Yeah, it's very hard to pull off. It's gotten harder. The first couple, I was in the first few dog bowls that happened, and it was easier to pull off then. Now it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
And so you end up with the Stroud Nico or something like that instead, which isn't bad.
Right.
How far have you seen tank go in drafts, Andy?
I think 5 is probably the earliest I've seen him go, but he started out at like 14 ADP, like in the first one, but he very quickly shot up to single digits. He's been a single digit, especially because wide receiver is pretty gross. I mean, like, you know, the what, like 15th receiver on the slate is Rashee Rice by ADP right now. So like, it's pretty ugly.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, running back does feel.
But so, like, I think this is super fun personally because it's like picking through the dumpster to try to figure out what combo you can get. You probably don't need each of your players to score 25 points to be in contention this week. Like, I think it's going to be a really exciting one to sweat.
Yeah. Yeah, this is definitely one of those where like the over correlating stuff is very much in play.
Yeah. My favorite stack of the week so far has been Josh Allen and Dalton Kincaid when I can get it. I think that one's like really, really nice.
Yeah. Kincaid goes here to crutches, Josh Allen, Dalton Kincaid there. Yeah. I mean, and it makes sense. It's a gross slate. Eagles have just been, very bad against pass catchers. They somehow held Mahomes to what he did last night, but that was more a testament to MVS and Travis Kelce fumbles and all of that. I mean, that pretty easily could have been a more standard Mahomes line last night otherwise.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm like not super into the Chiefs this week. Wow. I kind of like Isaiah Pacheco. But like Mahomes, I see him go before Allen and Hurts a lot. And it's like their defense is so good and his ceiling just has not been there this year. I'm really hard pressed to want to take him in the first round like that comparatively to those other two guys, just because like they're playing Aiden O'Connell. I feel like it can't be that close of a game. And I just don't think the Chiefs are going to have to score 50 points. And so I don't think they will because their offense hasn't been that good.
Do you know what mini correlation I'm seeing now that I won't be able to pull off ADP wise, but I kind of wish I would. The Derrick Henry, Adam Thielen, like perfectly matches up with the strengths of their defense there. I'm going to go ahead and take the big dog here. And, if the Panthers can make Tony Pollard look good, I mean, imagine what the big dog's going to do.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
This feels like a Derrick Henry breakout game. We're getting close to December. It's gonna be a December to remember, then November.
Yeah, it is. yeah, I do. You can see like there is going to be a lot more viable play. Like there's a lot more to like, I think, deeper down here. Mm-hmm. Even like Jerome Ford versus the Denver defense, that feels pretty cheap.
I also really like James Cook. He's someone who I've been
say Cook. Yeah.
Taking a lot.
Way too late of a ADP. Kyren yeah. going.
And since it's so deep, like sometimes those guys just slide to where they're like almost yeah. going to be undrafted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kyren at 25 feels a little rich, considering I imagine he was not going that high for up until this part of this week.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like they immediately release Henderson. They love using him as a bell yeah. cow back.
Yeah.
The Cardinals have been so bad. I think that's a fair price for him.
And I think getting that Kyler win, back. Like the Rams getting that win last week to where it's like, so you're telling me there's a chance, I think does help too, where it's like they definitely want to win still. They you know, the bottom end of the NFC is not that strong. Like they can tell themselves a story of if they get hot, they can make the playoffs.
Yeah. What's the latest?
And it's not like some young running back. Yeah, Downs is another guy I love.
Yeah, I was just checking him out, but
it's not like another guy on the Rams running back committee is like some young guy who, you know, Zach Evans didn't like go crazy and they're like, oh, let's give this young guy some more run. It's like they have a bunch of they signed some old guys and they were fine, got the job done.
Man, that I was seeing Rashee Rice's name here. I was tilting that last night, so I had like a couple different underdog entries, and he missed his by a half yard. And also, like his snaps have decreased the past 3 weeks. Dude's out here like breaking ankles every time he catches the ball. Like, what the fuck is going on with Rashee Rice's usage?
It doesn't make any sense. Justin Watson had 11 targets last night.
Yeah.
Every time he turned around. I don't know, man. I don't know what to really make of Kansas City last night. Other than, you know, they're tripling Kelsey. So I feel it's just what defenses are going to do. It seems like the game plan at this point in time is just remove Kelsey and then let, you know, Mahomes can definitely beat you still, but he needs some help from the brick hands on the team.
Yeah.
And it's not quite the same thing as what you were talking about on your portfolio review yesterday, Pete, when you were talking about Calvin Ridley as you draft Christian Kirk. I think that he's someone where like it just doesn't totally make sense that he has now dropped so much comparatively to Ridley after 1 week, where it's just a lot of scoreboard watching, I think. Right. Unless there's some matchup stuff. I'm certainly not an expert in like how Houston plays different types of wide receivers and where they are strong, but it feels like they should be drafted around the same place, not 20 picks apart.
Yeah.
About to have naked T-Law.
I mean, Zay played. You could do a last minute Zay.
We can. We'll see how we're feeling. There's some interesting names down here, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one guy who's interesting to me is Pat Freiermuth, who is going really late, where he's still ramping up, but he's definitely him and Hunter Henry. If you don't get any of the wide receivers, it's like your best option, I think.
I can't. I'm just dying because I'm now left to just quarterback and tight end, and just licking at this board is so hilarious.
Yeah, the one combo that you can probably pull off here, and again, this is probably my favorite. Like, I got boned at QB is Ritter. And you can get like Ritter, Johnny Smith for like literally free.
That's literally what I was gonna do. Is do Ritter. I mean, Jake Browning having a higher ADP than Russell Wilson is pretty funny. But I don't even think.
I think that's a Cleveland defense respect thing more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think it. I mean, you should have someone like Jameis ahead of Jake Browning. I think, but I do. As long as Arthur Smith doesn't bench him, changes his mind.
Oh, I forgot we get Jameis this week.
And I will say I don't want to blow up Crutch's spot here because he's been hammering this, but there are a few wide receivers pretty far down on the board who I think are really interesting, like no ADP wide receivers.
Well, yeah,
I mean, queued up.
I don't Steelers, think it's that hard to figure out who they are, but like,
yeah, no Matt Canada, Cincy here. I mean, the only thing you worry about is just that game environment.
Yeah,
but yeah, like you mentioned Shahid, like with MT, he should definitely, be getting drafted right now.
Yeah. I had one, you know, if I'm going to try to do as many dog rolls as I can this week. And so I'm going to try to get weird with it. And I had one where I just like nothing went the way that I wanted. And I ended up with my last three spots being quarterback and wide receiver, both wide receiver positions. And I did, I was like kind of over that draft. And so I just starred both Steelers receivers and Kenny Pickett and let it auto.
Logged out,
I was like, who knows? Maybe it's what you need is the double Steelers sack.
I mean, I will say sometimes like the best stuff is when you get pushed off of it. You know, it's like, I think I only had a couple Barkley shares last week in the dog bowl. And it was just like when my target got sniped and I'm like, fine, fuck it. I'll take Barkley. And then he's, you know, the highest scoring running back on the slate.
Well, there goes Darnell Washington. I'm convinced that his ADP is staying up, him and DeMarcus Robinson, purely because people go AFK and auto draft them. Like that just has to be what's
there's
happening.
There's no other reason for it.
I don't get DeMarcus Robinson's ADP. I mean,
I think it's a mistake. Like I think someone drafted him and then enough people auto that he stays at a 35.8 ADP, and so it's higher than some of these guys.
I know Godwin has not been good, but to see Godwin's name right below DeMarcus Robinson's name is just like, what are we doing? I don't know. I don't get it at all. Seems like a bad pick, but you know, what do I know?
Here's a good grinder tip from Crutches. There's no need to take Jameis. You just take Carr and then set your ranks to take Jameis.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
If he's ruled out. Although,
so what do you think after going like, through?
What's that? No, I was just going to say, it's like you get excited. I get way more excited about Shahid with Jameis than I do with Carr.
Yeah,
easily.
What were you going to say, Andy?
Now that we're coming up on the end of your first dog, will anything else stick out to you other than what we've talked about so far?
Just that, like, clearly my head is so far shoved up the turkey right now that I feel like I have no clue what I'm doing in here. But yeah, it is. It seems like a fun one here.
It's hard as fuck.
Yeah, and so I think like when looking at like super bottom of the barrel here, running back and wide receiver, it's like Ramondre is probably going to be undrafted. Najee Harris is definitely going to be undrafted. Chuba Hubbard's definitely going to be undrafted. Damian Pierce Q tag is going totally undrafted, and like maybe he plays this week. And then like wide receiver, I like Demario Douglas a lot this late. Amari Cooper slips a lot. There he goes. And the guys who we kind of talked about earlier.
There you go. Had to take the Andy alpha there. Although I do like it. I mean, Ritter definitely prefers throwing to Jonnu than Pitts. Actually curious how I was like, one of the other tools you can check out on Fantasy Life that's always just fun to scope real quick is just defense versus position here. Curious what the Saints have been bottom 10 against tight ends looks like here.
Did the Saints and Falcons already play each other this year?
Who?
Did the Saints and Falcons already play each other this year?
Did they? I can't remember.
Check. I do not know.
I don't know. It could be one of those like weird division things where they play like twice in the last like 3 weeks, but
yeah. Because you know, you can't take that much from it, but it's at least some other like piece of information, right?
No, they play in week 18. Okay. Yeah.
Classic.
How hilarious is it that, okay, so you look at worst against tight end, Denver Broncos. Oh, I guess the Broncos have dropped against wide receivers. They're actually holding their own now.
I was listening to the Ringer. I think it was the Ringer NFL show, maybe not the fantasy one. And they were saying that the Broncos have, through the last like couple weeks, been like, you know, league average and DVOA for their defense, but they're still 32nd on the season just because it's so fucked
from
that 70-point game that like there's just no recovering for the defensive DVOA.
Yeah, it's been very, I mean, they're such a frustrating team too, because they're like just good enough to get some of these, you know, wins against good teams. But from like a fantasy perspective, it's like a three-way committee. Jerry Jeudy sucks. Cortland Sutton is just mid, but getting a ton of volume. They won't use Marvin Mims. It's just like, what a fucking mess. I think that my takeaway here was I need to go back into my turkey cave until Thursday locks, and then it'll be blast off in the dog bowl time. I'll let you guys get all the fun combos that I won't have access to later in the week.
I'm curious to see how it all kind of ends up with quarterback, especially. Like, I think we might even start to see more steam on the Tampa Indy game, as just like Mayfield and Minshew are the last kind of like non-totally disgusting quarterbacks that you can draft.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. All right, dudes, this was a blast. Hope you guys all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Shout out to Underdog, our presenting sponsor, and for stuffing the lobby full of fun contests. Clay, do you have any cooking alpha for the people out there? Any tips and tricks?
Yeah, I'm spatchcocking the turkey. Because we got a small oven for one, but also, yeah, I mean, it's a little dirty. I'm gonna get in there with the compound butter, if you know what I mean. But I'll leave you with this. I do have a little Thanksgiving riddle for you boys. How do you keep a turkey in suspense?
I'm blanking, Clay. Hit me with it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is this the joke, Clay? Have a nice Thanksgiving, everyone.